everyone. Welcome to week 43 of Roleplay Swan Song. That's only funny because I just looked it up right now and told everyone that I was doing that. We talked to me about something.
Oh, God. You picked the wrong guy and the wrong person to start. Why is that funny, Adam? I'm in the middle of writing an email. Full transparency, man. There is a conference that is the Central European Game Conference. And they are a small conference that started last year. This is their second year. And 24 hours before their conference began, I got an email in my inbox that said, "We want to stream on Twitch." Now, normally, 24 hours is not enough time to make something like that happen. But as it comes to game development, you may or may not know that Twitch actually cares a lot about game development and the success of game developers on Twitch. Because So I am mobilizing the team and we are taking action and we are getting this shit broadcasting on Twitch. And if you are a Central European game developer, then you have something to watch over the next 2 days. But I'm in the middle. And then people are like, yeah, that wasn't really exciting. That's kind of boring.
JP, don't ask him those kind of questions again, please.
Yeah, Jesus, what the fuck are you?
Hey, you know what? I'm fucking happy to wake up every morning and go to my job, and I'm happy to fucking go to sleep thinking about it. So just remember that this guy's working on the other side for all to use.
I have to drink through my job to just live on a daily basis.
Yeah, so. I try to avoid that. I go other routes, but,
Gotcha.
Whatever works. Can we talk about Deadpool?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but go ahead.
I'll crazy that he dies off. In the end, isn't it?
Me and Steven, go ahead.
I haven't seen it, but I don't care.
I'll talk about it without swallowing. I just want to say it's fucking great, man. It was a breath of fresh air. It was what we all needed in the 21st century with like the stigmatism about our movies. When I watched an episode of Walking Dead after Deadpool that could have was pretty much an R-rated episode, and I'm just like, why is it such a big fucking deal in the movie theaters? Like, it's so goddamn old fashioned. Like, fuck.
I really like, and I think you posted this, Steven. I really like that article that James Gunn wrote that was everybody's gonna fuck up movies by copying Deadpool all wrong.
Yep. You're probably right. Like thing. Matrix, right? I mean, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Hey, the people copying the Matrix got us, what was it, Equilibrium? And
man, what a hell of a movie that is.
Ultraviolet.
That one's all right.
Equilibrium. Never watched Ultraviolet. Came out before Matrix. Didn't
actually,
it?
I think it did. The
Matrix is 99.
I mean, the internet will answer this for us.
Equilibrium was 2002. When was the Matrix?
And they absolutely did.
99. Okay.
The thing about the Matrix in this instance though is that they had the whole camera tech that they used. That was what spawned a lot of other movies.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, where they were like,
cool, then he saw it in every movie.
Right. Yeah. Part of what James Gunn, and I'm glad we just kind of went that way so we do avoid spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it, but spoiler, go see the fucking movie. It's great.
Yep.
Is that, why do we have ratings as a way for me as a parent to know if I need to go see a movie or not? But oftentimes not. Like, the rating itself has such a concrete definition in the minds of fucking United States, right?
It's a marketing tool, right?
So, but you know what? Here's a better marketing tool, all right? Here's the fucking DJ Wheat Association motion picture fucking...
Is it to make all things in the Assassin's Creed soundtrack trailer stuff? God damn it!
Hack the earth!
Fuck!
Here's what we're doing, all right? Fucking get rid of G. No one uses it anymore. Get rid of PG. What the fuck is that all about? Because you can look at movies like Ghostbusters that got all sorts of bad language and titties, but then later on they couldn't do that unless it was PG-13. Then you got R, and R is just like, so fuck all that shit. Here we go. Okay. Ready?
All right.
Deadpool. This is how it gets rated. Titties, sex jokes, long sex scene, lots of language, graphic violence, people get fucked up.
Does he hang dong?
As a parent, I immediately know there's titties in it. We're going to have to pass on that one, right? Mad Max, on the other hand, fucking violence with cars. The implication of you know, I don't know, something about the girls. But I mean, like, can't we just simplify it to just be like straight up, kind of like what television has done?
I wish, I agree. I wish under rated R it said that things like nudity and drug content, violence. I wish it laid it all out for you. Like,
but it does, doesn't it?
No. No, thank you, actually,
I'm pretty sure it's like R4.
Hold the fuck on, because the descriptions of those tags that are underneath the fucking labels, they're bullshit, dude. Deadpool, Deadpool goes way beyond the fucking description that is there. That's not even good. That is not even fair to try to use that to throw it back in my face. I won't let you. It's bullshit.
The problem with a rating system generally, too, is that it assumes, like, a baseline of, like, parental, like, this is just how you parent, and, like, it doesn't give you enough information to be like, why is this rated R? Like, because mostly it's, like, rated R, and it's sex content. It's not gore. And you have to look it up anyway. So, yeah.
But, like, my kid can watch some rated R movies, but, like, because it's got that fucking R rating, it's just, like, just do it by content.
I don't disagree with you guys, but in defense of the system, the reason why it's such a quick hitter and generic is because most people aren't as involved as I would say you guys are, and they just look at the rated R and say, well, it's probably not good for my kid.
Yeah. Fuck those people, Jeff.
Yeah. These are the same people. These are the same people who go to GameStop and they buy Call of Duty for their 6-year-old. And like, they don't even think about it.
I won't take my kid to a rated R movie, though.
Right,
fuck
exactly.
That.
No, it's so weird.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, too, the video games and movies, it's different because basically every parent on Earth at this point kind of has, like, an understanding of what a movie is, but a lot of parents are still mystified by video games and think they're scary and bad, right? Right. Like, that'll change over time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's tough because, like you say, we like a rated R one thing is not the same as rated R. Like, for example, on the weekend, I'm going to go see the movie The Witch. Guaranteed, that's rated the same, not even remotely as kid friendly as Deadpool. Like,
what's The Witch?
Same rating. It's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie. I can't wait.
It looks fucking terrifying. I can't wait.
I really want to see it.
Now I'm looking this up.
It's like not showing in Quebec. There's two showings. They're both tomorrow night at like 9, and that one's sold out, and then at 10:30, and I'm like, well, fuck, I have to work.
87 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it looks terrifying. I can't wait. It's going to be scary.
You guys checked out the movie Lemon Party, by the way, if you haven't. Make sure to just Google that real quick.
Jeff has rated a soft PG-13. It's on the soft.
Not to go too deep on this, I don't disagree with you, Weebo. I'm just giving you shit, but I do think a lot of it, I have like this whole separate pet, not even philosophy, but just like awareness, I would say. I'm that arrogant, but it's just like so much of society is watered down to the point where for people that are more involved and care more, it sucks because they're like, I'd like more information. They're like, well, most people have the attention span of a 3-year-old and won't read anything. So we actually have to just do a giant red R. So that they can be like, shiny R! This means stop!
Oh my god. Ah!
You know, like, that's what they do.
The Red Band trailer, right.
I mean, that's true. That's true of a lot of things, right? Like, they use iconography instead of description because people don't think they have the time or attention span for it. Like, they're like, all right, well, maybe we just need some symbols. There's like a picture of a train going into a tunnel, and that means this about this movie. And, you know, like, it's true, though. Like, people want information, but they have to do the work, and so you end up, like you say, you got to spend some time on IMDb. And
I know Adam will be excited about this. That this is actually my favorite. This is not obviously something I do. This is pretty well known, but I think it's very interesting. And I'm aware of it as just my upbringing as well. But I think what is rated in movies is really funny. Actually, I like the arc and Weed. I think we've even had this rant with each other. But like for you, the worst thing that little mini wheat could see would be a pair of human breasts. But, you know, if along the way to that moment in time, 500 people are dismembered, shot, killed, blown up, and exploded and hung.
Yeah, it's okay.
No problem.
That's going to happen, you know?
It's fine. It's fine if the tits are on a severed torso, but not on a living human woman.
You know, when you have kids, it's about maintaining innocence. And it's like, you know, it doesn't matter if he saw the graphic violence of Deadpool because he sees it in other places, whether that be video games or fucking television show or whatever, a YouTube video that's a cartoon of Minecraft characters and they're fucking blown up. It doesn't matter. It's fucking everywhere. I'd rather my kid be able to be like, well, that's fucking not real. Like, yeah, it's entertainment, you know?
That's a good argument.
When it comes to sex, there's still, like, it takes a long time, I think, for that incense to be lifted. That's I'm also okay true that, with like, that, like, lasting a little bit longer. But actually, the titties are actually not the issue. It is more just graphic sex.
Yeah.
That's more, right? Like, I mean, a pair of titties ain't going to hurt anybody.
It's true that, like, people in the real world don't maim, murder, destroy, kill, blow up, and execute each other nearly as often as they have sex, especially in North America.
Clearly, you've never been to Oakland, but yes.
I was about to say, yes, you.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's a good point. Desensitized to it to a certain extent. I think if you just, like, dial it back and get away from the specificity even of your son, just the general idea that as a society, I can feel it myself. Like, when a woman's, like, her shirt comes off, that's way more, oh, wow, this scene is, oh, wow, this is way more out there than the scene before when a person's, like, holding someone underwater, strangling the life out of them. I'm like, ha, ha, the villain's getting what he deserves, thank God, you know, but but sex in Western society in particular, not that it's, I mean, movies are basically Westernized anyways across the globe for the most part, but, like, in our culture, it's just funny that, you know, a huge
it
war.
It is. It's so stupid, right? Like, it is. It's so dumb. And, like, honestly, I'm on the other side of the fence when it comes. Or, I mean, put it everywhere. I'd just rather just whatever. I don't.
European TV, man.
Let's do it.
Commercials, like a woman just walks in naked. Yeah. Like, this is the best commercial ever.
I'm buying this product, whatever it is. It's all good.
Then you're in Sweden and a guy walks in naked. You're like, and, I'm comfortable, and, but this is fair. You know, but fine.
I should say, like, if you've seen Deadpool, like, that's exactly the kind of thing that I don't want to take my kid to and him have to experience in a fucking, you know. If that scene was not there, I would have been fine, even with dick jokes and stuff, probably things going over, whatever. He would have still...
Even the masturbation scene where he's holding the unicorn to his forehead and jerking off in his bedroom?
Think about what a 10-year-old mind processes on something like that versus the sex scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, I that probably just like... goes right, like, I wonder what he's doing. I don't get this. Okay, what's next? Like, whoa, what is going on here? Yeah, anyway.
I figure it's also probably that, like, that's a thing that at some point in the distant future he's actually going to have experience with, and you want to move him in that direction in a way that's healthy and natural and prepares him for, you know, his future life as a sexual
like I said,
human being.
Innocence. It's right. All about innocence.
So
this is one of these things where, like, there are studies being done and people looking at the way that like mainstream porn is to sex what cinematic violence is to actual violence, and the way that it, like, changes the way people see that stuff, because the danger of, like, for example, like, a kid seeing actual, like, graphic violence in real life is way lower, but changing, like you said, changing the way that they see reality is like harder to do around sex because it's a way more real thing. It's less cartoony. Right. Even in, like, realistic violent movies, like, even the violence in, like, say, like, Sicario, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, that's what movies have told me realistic violence looks like, but I don't know the difference. I've never, like, seen anybody get shot with an AK-47 before. Like, you know, and this is why, like, people have this, like, extremely twisted sense of what violence is like in real life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did find it weird to go to Mexico after seeing Sicario. But I had a little
bit of flashbacks. Oh, no, we're never... No one is allowed to go to Mexico ever after seeing Sicario.
Yeah. I was like, Jesus.
You can't even go to El Paso. No one's allowed to go to El Paso.
Yeah, I figure Arizona, the entire state is just a war zone, right?
Yeah, so. Just don't go. It's.
I mean, Texas was originally Mexico, so that's right out, right, JP?
Yeah. I mean, I live far enough north to where I don't have to deal with it. But
Santa Ana's Revenge, that whole thing. Yeah.
It'll happen. It'll happen. By the way, I just watched the Witch trailer. That looks really fucked up.
Yeah.
It's all not modern. It's all like 1800 shit too, right?
Yeah, it's like 1600s, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's Puritan, like early America. Yeah. Like, yeah, it reminds me a lot of, though different timeline, A Field in England, which was another like fucked up movie in that same vein. So if you want to do a double header, Field in England and then The Witch.
In England, you said?
Yeah, A Field in England. It's a black and white movie about the had the like revolution, the English Revolution in the 1600s, and it's about like a priest and a bounty hunter and some other like nobodies that get high on mushrooms, and it's fucked up. It's really fucked up. But it was a good movie.
Cannibal Holocaust is my recommendation along those lines if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Real animals die in that movie. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Turtles.
Yeah. I think we've talked about Cannibal Holocaust before. It's a good go-to.
It's a time-honored tradition of mine.
Yeah.
What, remember,
if I'm ever just like,
when exactly just, is that time? Like, yeah, what is it, like every day at 8 o'clock in the morning?
You know
or
the
what?
Feel. Sometimes you're riding too high. You gotta take yourself.
You just gotta break your
wings. You don't want your wings to burn up, man. You gotta sink it down.
All right, I can get with that. That's why I watched The Leftovers, man. By the way, season two was just fucking great. Anyway, sorry.
Now I'm reading the description of a field in England. Jeff, what have you been up to while I read this?
So I saw a lot of movies. Obviously, Deadpool is awesome. Everyone should check that out. But after you see that, Zoolander 2, pretty okay, actually, as a follow-up. Same kind of jokes, but not falling into the trap of so many dumb comedy movies where like just every joke is rehashed over and over again. And then I saw Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, which is based on, obviously, the original Pride, Prejudice, just Pride, Prejudice. But the book itself, Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, is actually really, really funny and cool. It's a lot of the normal dialogue and content, but just they're martial arts fighting, and there's a zombie in the room, and it's talking to them. It was really good. It was actually really well done. Not like a fantastic, super amazing movie, and nobody should go to that before Deadpool if they're seeing movies like that, but definitely, if it's like, all right, what else to do? Go see it. It's pretty cool. Otherwise, Anna is at the DICE Awards right now in Vegas. So I'm doing Bachelor Day for today and tomorrow, which basically means I don't shower.
yeah.
Play video games. Sit around in my own filth.
I haven't showered in a year, man.
All right. gonna go on a ski trip this weekend with Anna and our friends from Oregon, which equates to they go skiing, I sit in a cabin.
That's the way to do it, man. I'm right there with you.
I have no problem.
I have no issue doing that either.
Come on, you have to go skiing at some point. I'm like, no. You know how many people die from slamming into a tree sitting in a cabin drinking hot cocoa? Zero fucking people. You know, slam into trees every year, die from.
Is it like a proper resort or is it just like a cabin in the woods?
It's
or
Bend, Oregon, so whatever mountain that is.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a resort-ish, but we're not doing anything special. It's just some Oregon mountain. But it'll be fun, nice and relaxing. And then otherwise, I binged mega hard on XCOM last week. I played something like 70 hours or whatever in 5 days.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, beat it. I'm done. Feel good. And then on Saturday, I was like, no, I'm not done yet. So the last few days, I've been playing another run. But once you beat it once on...
Wait, you finished it on Commander Iron Man?
Uh-huh.
Wait, so the last mission didn't bug out for you?
No, I had a lot of people, like, it didn't bug out at all. But there are things, like, some of the levels, and they actually just hotfixed this today, but some levels were like Chrysalid's Burrow. If you saved it in that... Goodbye your entire playthrough.
Yeah, that's what happened to a lot of people. I was actually fearful of finishing it, but...
Oh, it's fine, yeah. I don't know.
I got to a point on... I'm only playing Veteran, so one down from Commander, for those that don't know. But I got to the point in the game where I'm pretty much unkillable, and it's kind of like, this is kind of boring. And I kind of wish I was playing on Commander, but I kind of wish... I don't know. It's just...
So here's the thing. Do this. Even if you're at that point, that means you're close to the end. So you just do like the last few story missions.
Yeah.
Final level. I'm not sure how it is on Veteran. I'm sure even on Veteran, though, if you don't have it spoiled how it is, like don't listen to people. Tell your chat not to tell you. If you just go into it, I can almost guarantee you you'll die the first time. It's
in the
really
final level?
Hard. Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen everything up until the final room, and I know the final room's like the hardest part.
Ah, damn, okay. You saw that. Mm. Well, if you haven't seen the final room, that is the hardest part. But, yeah, it's actually insanely hard. It's fun. Yeah.
And I know, the thing is, for whatever reason, it just worked out that Weed is my psychic.
I saw that.
And so I just have Domination, and it's like kind of broken.
Dude, I watched the stream a couple times because now that I'm playing it, I don't
care. It's kind of ridiculous how broken it is.
It's really strong, but also your characters look a lot like the fucking people that you
need. Oh, yeah. 100%. They look very similar.
Have you seen your guy?
Yeah, he looks just like me. It's
looks
great.
Just like you.
We was watching the other day when he, like, I had this terrible issue where I just huddled everyone around a car, and then a gatekeeper did a like his like resurrect bomb on it, like his necro bomb. And so like Wheat and like four other people went from full HP to like four. Oh. And I was just like, he was all my best people. And they just all got down to four HP with no cover, and I didn't have the fucking AoE heal. So I'm just kind of like, oh, God, this might be the end of this run.
And that's when it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday, I mean, that's why I love this game so much. So many little moments like that. Yesterday, I'm at that point, too, in my run right now where we're just in God mode. So I've been arrogant, like, just run forward, go shoot, whatever. Killed this pod down to an Andromedon in, like, his robot suit. And he, like, looked around, turned around, and just ran into the darkness. And we all, like, laughed. And we're like, what the fuck was that about? We follow after him. There's, like, two pods, including a gatekeeper and another, I think, a sectopod pod, actually.
Oh, man.
And they all were grouped up. And I just, like, limped into it because I was like, where the fuck is this stupid last Andromedon?
That's happened to me before, yeah.
And they're all like, what's up now, bitches? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. That's pretty fun. Terrifying.
Awesome.
I did hack a sectopod the other day, though, and that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just like, this is not even a hard game anymore. I'm just walking around with a giant Metal Gear, just destroying everything. It was good.
I love the RNG. Like, in my first playthrough, I had a guy that, like, the first hack he ever did was plus 20 hack, and then...
Oh, that's really lucky.
Yeah, he was, like, 165 or 80. He's just ridiculous. But this playthrough... They're like, they're good, but they're, you know, 145, 135. Yeah. So every hack sometimes is like 71%. I'm like, oh, sure, boop. And he just goes, and you can see from the very beginning, it goes, it just comes up 5%. You're like, no, what the fuck?
I'll sometimes try to hack a sectopod the first thing. And if it misses, I'm like, well, maybe it'll be a little bit challenging now. But if it makes it, I'm just like, yeah, that's an easy mission.
Yeah.
That's happened a lot too, but it's good times. It's good times. Adam, what have you been up to, sir?
I have also been playing the XCOM.
Yeah.
The first, like, 4 hours of it, I haven't played it at all. Like, any of the XCOM, not since...
There's a lot of learning.
I missed the expansion on the first one, too, so I haven't played it in years. And the whole first session, I was just like, these are the throwaway, start again. I'm doing the same as the other veteran Iron Man, and today I played it, and I finally got my head around it. I think I know what I'm doing, so yeah. I'll probably finish the veteran one and then maybe try it a little harder. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I like it. It's one of those games that you know, I can tell I like a game when I'm not playing it, and I'm like, man, I wish I had a little extra time. I just go play that game. Like,
yep.
I know I'm going to play it tomorrow, but, like, it's 1 in the morning, and no, I can wait. It's fine. So I've been having that. It's been good. It's fun doing the compare and contrast thing with Darkest Dungeon too. Like, having just played that,
did
and
you
then
play
jump
that,
over
Jeff?
To XCOM.
I didn't play it.
You should
I
think play Darkest like it. Dungeon. It's basically XCOM but in a RPG setting.
Okay. It's like a dark medieval kind of, like, very spooky. It's cool. The
very percentage based. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody asks me if I know about it because it reminds them of the West Marches.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I sort of get it, but it's a little, like, ahead in the timeline. Like, there's no real magic. And, like, but it is, I get, it's still got that kind of gothic over the top thing going. But yeah, it's fun. And so playing it and comparing it to XCOM has been really interesting. Have you, anybody here ever played the XCOM board game?
Yes.
That game? I feel weird about that game because when they announced it, I was like, oh, they're making an XCOM board game. Fucking awesome. I'm going to get little soldier minis. We're going to move them around, shoot aliens. It's going to be really fun. But it's not that. It's the, like, higher level where you're like, they go on a mission. Okay, they succeeded.
It's management. You know? It's just
it's the management level, which is weird. But now playing it, like, that's all I can think about is, like, this is just a board game in computer form. Like, yeah.
Jeff, you know what you should play, really, like, actually?
What?
The original XCOM.
Yeah. I did.
The, like, 91 XCOM. The 1991 launch of release of XCOM.
Yeah.
That was the original fuck you game. The original.
It's it's really... really difficult
because they wouldn't even get revealed. They would just be like three. They'd be like three buildings over, and you're like, "All right, this guy just got his rocket launcher. Pretty sweet." It just, like, melts to the ground. You're like,
I played the original XCOM. I got it on a CD-ROM in the back of a, like, 500 Shareware Games magazine when I was, like, a teenager. And I remember playing it and being like, "This is insane.
Yeah,
why is this so hard? This isn't fair.
It's ridiculous. It's got, like, the hex grid inventory stuff."
Yep.
And you have to, like, gear yourself out that way, and you can't really equip that many things because your inventory is so small. And then the fucking aliens start off with like the best guns in the world. And you can't see them when they move, like the screen goes blank and like hides their movement. In XCOM you can see where they're at, but
what it does so well though, and it did it in 1991, was just like when you clawed and fought your way to that next cool gun and you got to use it, you felt like so badass. Awesome.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot of that actually, those kind of same feels in a lot of role-playing games when like you finally get the legendary sword or whatever, and you're like, oh my god, I just want to use it. This is so cool. XCOM, better than, I think, I don't want to say any other game, but because I'd have to take time to think about that, but almost certainly in the top five or three, it just makes you feel amazing for the little accomplishments that you get, and it's such a fun feeling.
Well, that's just like for me and like Final Fantasies and stuff like that, when I would go to the weapon shop and buy like the next tier of weapons in the new town. And it looked better. I was like, this is incredible. Like, Cloud Sword looks so much cooler because it's now this instead of that.
Yep.
That was awesome. The later Dragon Quest games were all super good for that. Yeah. They were like, here's a hat. It gives you +1 to your armor. It looks totally different than that other hat. Now you feel pretty fucking good about grinding for gold. So you buy that hat, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Diablo did that for me, too. Like, the Sojas and like just the grayed out uniques. Every time you had one, you're like, sometimes you just like open it up and just like look at it and be like, oh man, it's +1 all abilities. That's pretty amazing.
There's so much in games just boils down to that. Like, that's all Hearthstone is. Like, you got the shiny version of that card you already had. Look how shiny it is. You're like, oh yeah, JPEGs. Yeah. I love them.
Dude, that is all about like skins for Overwatch, right? Mm-hmm. It just looks so good, and you're like, oh, what if I could have Tracer look like a motorcycle girl? Oh, that's so great.
My absolute favorite, though, is, Swan Song, where we always get new gear and level up here.
Yeah, it's really...
And we just always have character
progress. Yeah, man.
It's so fun. We definitely never lose any of the things that we've gained.
No, I know.
Except nothing is ever taken away from us.
Look, I only went there because I know Jeff was going to, and I beat him to the joke.
You guys, yeah, you did. You guys realize we have those like side quest things for experience? We haven't done that in like 17 weeks. It's not even a part of the game anymore.
I've done a few. I've gotten my goals done.
It was the last one you did.
The thing is right now, before we start, if you want some XP, JP, all you got to do is message me and be, my goal is to steal this stupid hydro thing, and then you'll get some experience points. The problem is that none of y'all are playing the game I'm playing.
Yep.
Also, I subscribe to the Super Metroid school of games where you get all the cool stuff at the beginning and then I just take it away from you.
If only the traditional setup for role-playing games was there's like one guy that kind of managed the game. God, they called him something. I can't remember what it was. Kind of thing, usually there's one focal person that kind of keeps it...
I think you're thinking of the Game Blaster.
Dragon Master?
I fucking love the Game Blaster.
The Game Blaster is the Dragon Master.
It'll come
I had a Game Blaster 64 when I was a kid.
are we almost about to start?
Almost. We got to see what Steven's up to.
Oh, okay.
It's true.
So, Steven, what have you been up to?
That
was the throw.
It's like to talk. Straight over my head, man.
You gotta
pitch those softer, man.
You just give these partner buttons out to anybody, don't you?
Pretty much. It's because I've been playing Talos Principle and speaking in a British accent the entire time like this. And it was incredibly amusing to all of my chat. They very much enjoyed it. And I'm feeling like I should probably start using this accent all the time now.
I agree.
What have I been up to? I have not seen Deadpool. I'm very excited about going to see it. I'm starting to wear my hair like this now, which is very nice. I think I quite like it. It looks a little bit foppish, but that's all right.
I don't know what that means. Let me Google that.
I'm going to get up very soon and make dinner for myself because I must eat at 8:30 p.m. every evening because I'm taking antibiotics. So apologies for that when that happens. Hope you understand. I'll be right back with food on air. I'm making black beans in the Mexican style from North America. Yes, and a quesadilla. That's what I'll be having.
Okay. Yeah. Don't make anything super amazing and eat it in front of us. That'd be mean. But as long as you're eating basically prison food, that's fine.
Well, it's not macaroni and cheese.
No.
True.
Or as we call it in Canada, craft dinner.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Kraft, Canada's like that's the number one purchaser of Kraft dinner in the world.
Wait, why is that embarrassing?
I wonder if you call Kraft dinner, man.
No?
When we go on the first break, I'll go see if I've got a box. Yeah, it just says KD on the front.
Because, man, you can't call it just Kraft dinner.
The company is Kraft, and they want you to eat it for dinner. Shut up about it. All right?
Listen, I eat macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
Any time of the day. Okay.
It's the best.
But you don't have dinner for breakfast, but you always have breakfast for dinner. It just doesn't fucking make sense.
You can have dinner for breakfast all the time.
God, we
don't
that was
have
the beginning,
dinner for breakfast.
That was the beginning of have. What I can only imagine in like 30 years is going to be like a great insane grandpa wheat rant.
You don't eat dinner for breakfast, but for breakfast, you did dinner and Kraft macaroni. And
I'm already there, man. I'm getting there.
Yeah, Grandpa amazing. Wheat telling us how it's done.
Straight yeah. My day.
Grandfather Wheat.
Just please no more of that, Stephen. It's so bad.
It's going to be my next character, man.
Oh, boy.
Yes!
Well, he's coming in. Eric's getting pretty weird.
Non-regional space water.
Space water or space bottom.
Of Planet Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
There we go. Steven, go get your food. Wheat, what were we going to say?
So, you guys like it when I make bold predictions.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'd like to make one.
Okay. Is this for XP?
I've been playing... No. Oh. I've been playing a game by a little development house called Supercell. Is anyone familiar? Does it ring a bell?
Do they make Super Hot?
No, but they make, like, the largest mobile game in the fucking... Well, not quite the world, actually. There's several other... But for North America, they make Clash of Clans.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
And I've never played Clash of Clans. Not really interested in that, like, style of gameplay, personally.
Really
always thought it had, like, a really good aesthetic. Like, whenever I saw the commercials, I was like, God, it, you know, they've got a good art style and stuff. Like, it's cool, but it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
So they have Clash Royale now. Well, it's going to be out worldwide and on like March 16th. And this game is so good that you watch it'll be real fast, like an esport.
What?
Yeah, dude. Yep.
This is your bold prediction?
You heard it here.
I mean, that's
interesting because
it's finally happening.
It's really hard to make a game like every game that's ever been like this will be an esport has absolutely not been an esport.
I know, but
what's
dude,
the
thing is, it's called Clash Royale. It's like a 3-minute cross between Tower Defense and Hearthstone.
Clash Royale, the American name is Quarter Pounder with Cheese, I think.
Mm. Yeah. I get it.
I was the one that gave TB his code and told him he needed, and he was like, this game is the best mobile game I've ever played. Yep.
When does it launches?
But don't all mobile games suck total ass, DJ Wee?
They
certainly
not
suck
all
a percentage of the
ass. It's actually, it is just, yes, it is most. It is, in fact, acceptable, Jeff, to even say 99.9% of mobile games suck ass.
Okay.
However, there is a special 0.1% reserved every once in a while for a game that's like, wow, this is really awesome.
Point 0.1% of all mobile games still has to be like a million games, right? So... It's a big library there of excellent games to play.
Oh, apparently this game's already an esport in China.
I mean, they're like all the top clans. It has like a little TV, so you can watch all like the top Chinese clans right out of the gate. And it's there's so many. It's HK Esports is what they're called.
Is it going to be on Twitch?
They're up there, I bet, right there. I think a couple people have already streamed it.
Really?
HK Esports, yep.
Interesting.
It's quite good, you guys.
Clash of Clans is that game, and they used to have the ads with fucking Kate Upton in them, and now they have the ads with the Nazi.
That was War.
Oh, was it? That was a different game? Okay. Yeah, the ads now. I've seen them before in movies. They have that the guy, Quentin Tarantino's new German best friend. The guy from Inglourious Basterds. Yeah, Christoph Waltz. That's the guy.
He's not German, is he?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he, yeah, he's German. He's German
or Austrian. Austrian.
I thought it was the Austrian. Same thing.
I mean. I mean, if you asked Germany in the mid-40s whether it was the same thing, I mean, who's going to say otherwise?
Yeah.
I actually know more Austrians than I know Germans, so it's not the same, and I'm sorry.
There you go.
Europe.
There you go.
I stand by what I said.
Okay.
Great. All right. What do we do now? We're supposed to play a video game. No, we're supposed to play a board game.
Bill Nye tweeted out, shout out to uteruses, the original 3D printers.
I mean, yeah.
What That's if we awesome. Just, what if we just turn the show into reading celebrity and pseudo-celebrity tweets?
Jeff Reed's tweets.
Just share. Load up twitter.com/share. It's the best.
Before we go back, man, if you guys have all seen celebrities read mean tweets, that is the best video you can ever watch in your life, every one of those.
There's a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
We could do one of those with YouTube comments pretty fucking easily, I think.
Probably.
That'd be pretty easy.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I would say so. Anywho, where did we last leave off? We were about to go hacking or something like that.
Yeah, well, those Swan Song boys are up to no good. There's a big old hyperboat race coming up, and y'all are in Alamo City on the planet Asa, getting ready to steal a hyperboat, an experimental hyperboat, out from its racer before the big race. And to do so, you've weaved the mighty story of a young man from the outer planets they call Brumbo Dungus. A man so cold, so harsh, that even El Gato Caliente trembles in his Lucador boots at his passing. A man whose thirst for cantaloupe is so strong, no one is susceptible. So you have this plan, and I'm still not entirely certain what it is. It sounds like there's something about stealing the boat, but you know where it is. You have a general idea of its sort of protection. There's a cadre of Fotenhauer mercenaries protecting it. And you know a little bit about the boat itself. It seems to incorporate some space fighter parts. And there's a big race in a couple of days. Huge crowds on ASA getting ready for this this national, I guess, worldwide pastime. And you're in the hotel. I think still making your plans or getting ready to go out and get out and do it. So can we review the plan for a minute?
Totally. Just ridiculous. I don't think we had a plan going out of last week.
I would love
week.
To hear what it is. I definitely know that there was like the beginning of a plan. I heard some things happening. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on. So everybody thinks, Alfarious, that you're Brumbo Dungus, the sector's most dangerous man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That rumor has spread effectively.
I mean, that was Higgs' goal. He doesn't really have a plan other than this.
Okay.
Higgs will wing it. If we have, as he does.
Sure, like you do.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Which for the rest of the party means you better hurry up and figure out a plan.
Or what, you're just going to define what the plan is?
Step one, bro.
Well, I mean, All right. We'll just figure it out.
Let's do this first. Let's start with our overall objective, which is to get this fucking grab bike.
We have to take this boat to a warehouse. Yes,
it's a hyperboat. Yeah, there's a hyperboat. There's a warehouse that you can take it to, and it's owned by the Madari Syndicate. And once you get it there, they can get it off planet. They've got that part handled. You just need to take it and steal it. Between where you are now and where that happens is the tricky part. That's what they need to do for. You have the credentials handed over to you. They're basically like clean credentials for like a pit crew, like a replacement pit crew, and those might be able to get you in, and then otherwise, it's the con has been turned over to you to make the call on.
So just like logistics of getting a boat, right? Like we're around water, but technically this is just like we can't take this thing off land easily. We actually need some way to transport.
I mean, Eric is pretty sure that with like a little bit of retrofitting, he could get it to.
I could retrofit the rockets and get it into the. Wait.
Stop it.
Fucking stop it.
No.
Yes.
No. I see. So you're still going to do Eric's voice, but now your voice is that?
Well, quite. Yes, of course.
Brilliant. I'm so happy.
You sound exactly like an NPC from another game, but I just can't place which NPC it was. And
in all actuality, it's merely that John Cleese is my spirit animal. No. I'm trying my best to channel him as no. best I that I can.
So here's what we're going to do. Let's just put a pin in that accent for a little bit. And we'll be going on break. I'm going to go find you a YouTube video of Fawlty Towers, and we can sit together for a few minutes and watch it and talk about the ways in which you've disappointed me, Stephen.
All right, so we've got Eric who's going to retrofit this thing, and then we're going to do what with it once we've retrofitted it.
So, Eric, you know that you could, with time and the right equipment, retrofit the thing to get it into, like, low orbit.
Yeah.
Because it's built with some Starship parts, so that's a thing you might be able
to
do.
Would that piss off the people?
I've got the astronautics.
Yeah.
Would that piss off the people that were giving it to?
We made a few modifications.
They would have to retrieve it from space instead of...
I think look, I can change it back.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Hold on. Do they just want the physical boat?
Yeah, I mean, they have the plans, but the boat is made from, like, one-off custom parts, and they're not really sure why it's so fast, and they want to take it apart, right? Like, obviously, whoever the buyer is has some, like... interest in winning these races, or they just want to take it away from Kieran Gunze.
Can Eric just reverse engineer it, and then we can just sell them and start a
storefront?
That
is what
somewhere.
Higgs was about to ask.
And then we just retire, like, and fly around and just fuck shit up. We could just go somewhere and spend like 2 months just gaining XP, get ourselves up to level 9, and then just go and fucking.
I mean, very, very
take
few
over a planet.
Very few of these parts are off the shelf, right? Like, the whole thing is, like, pretty much custom built. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe. You need to get a look at the actual machine.
Well, we'd have to see it in person for sure.
Yeah.
So, Eric hypothetically makes this thing go into low orbit. We then have, what, a meeting point in order to get this back, and we have another vehicle to transport it?
So, they have... That's what we need, right? They have a way to smuggle the ship off planet, but you need to get it to the syndicate first. And their intention here, the plan that Regina gave you was get it to their warehouse, get it to their safe house, and then they'll deal with it. They can turn it over to you.
How long would it take us to build an exact replica of the bike?
It's more like a hydroplane. Like
it's a boat.
I'm sorry. The fucking the boat.
The space boat. The hyperboat. I don't know. Someone would have to make a roll, I think, to figure that shit out.
Okay. Never mind then.
Do you want it to work?
Was how long would it take us to get an Alfarious lookalike? So I don't know if that plan's really going to work out. So
I wanted to get in there and, like, really dig around in the machinery. But then I could probably tell you, like, whether or not it's something we could emulate.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to find points of failure, guys.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest point of failure is we probably can't even get in the door. Right?
We have nothing
that allows us to get in the door.
Well, we've got those credentials where we're mechanics.
Pit crew credentials. So you know, you could theoretically, that's kind of the plan, right? Because Rajani was like, well, you know, I have these creds and we have a way to get it off world, but we need to con it away from the driver. So, hey, maybe you can do that for me, Higgs. You're a con man.
Well, I mean, I figured that, but.
Yeah.
I was just making sure the rest of the group understood.
Yeah.
But apart from getting in the door, we don't really have a plan.
So we need beyond the door, either get keys or access and or trick folks into looking at it.
And we were also told there's at least 12 armed guards, right? Wasn't that a number that we were told, Adam?
No, there's half a dozen, but they're Fotenhauer. Mercs, so they're gonna be high quality dudes.
Yeah, I remember phone now and I remember a number. I guess it was half a dozen.
Couldn't we just call Sicarian and call them off?
That's not really how mercenary companies work.
What?
they're being paid, and a mercenary company that just bails out doesn't have a very good rep.
Damn.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? We quit. Never mind.
And who, we know what group like owns the bike, right?
No, Nganzai owns the boat. She's the pilot of the boat. She's sponsored by a bunch of different companies, but we don't know where she got it.
But what if we just hold on, do we know if she's single? Is she in the dating Brumpotungus?
I mean, you could try to do the dress Alperis up like a sexy male pilot.
Wait. Is it the Brumpotungus Bumpus Rumpus?
Get out of here.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that the name of the episode? Do we just make that happen?
Well, we'll see.
I like this idea, Higgs. I actually...
So what if... I'm trying to think. We're at the hotel where everyone stays, right? Where we understand most of the racers stay, Adam?
Yeah. You were staying in the double platinum super grand Hi-Hat.
So, and this place has a bar. You said it had a bar like as wide
as a huge ass wooden bar.
And this is at like most conventions where all the people would stay and drink at night.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I go down and survey the bar area under the guise of whatever my name is. Whatever that is.
I don't think you have a name. I think you just were everybody was referring to each other by their title aside from
Bravo. Yeah. So I go down to the bar as Hype Man.
Okay. All right. So it's I don't know, it's like evening, I guess, if you want to wait until then. There's a pretty big crowd. They're watching some like previous years like race, maybe the finals from last year. It's up on the big hollow display, so there's kind of like a little like blue glowing track that runs throughout the bar, and the cars, the hyperboats are flying around on it, and people are watching and, you know, cheering every time a lap gets finished and drinking and all hanging out in this place. And there's a predominantly ASIN crowd. So, you know, folks in denim and flannel all over the place. And then also, there's a bunch of like off-worlders that are probably crews for other hyperboat teams.
Do I know like what race this particular racer is of?
Kira, you can make a culture ASA roll to see if you know, if you could pick her out of a crowd.
Okay. Let's see.
You can do it.
Hold on, just
adjust. Roll it with intelligence.
Roll 2d6 plus, what is my intelligence? There it is. 0. Great. And culture ASA is a 0 as well.
Yeah.
4, we're re-rolling. 8.
Okay. All right. So yeah, you can recognize Kira Nganzai in a crowd, and in fact you do spot her here. So at the bar, there's someone. We don't see her right away. There's someone in a crowd of people all facing in. None of these people are watching the game. Some of them are holding tablets and styluses, like hoping to get an autograph. And there's a lot of like Kira, and. Maybe the crowd, like, it clears enough that we can see, and there's this woman. She's still wearing her like racing outfit. It's just like a kind of one piece outfit with a bunch of like patches of different corporations all over it. She has her helmet with her, but it's on the bar. She's quite tall. She's probably almost 7 feet. Very dark skin. She has long hair in like braids, but they're all like pulled up. She's drinking something very tall and like multi-layered, a bunch of different colors, with a big straw and an umbrella sticking out of it. And, she's currently laughing at a joke that somebody just told her. And, maybe we see Higgs, we like pan across that and we see Higgs.
Do I know the race that they're watching in the winter?
Can I make probably a roll? Yeah. I mean, I think it's a common, fairly common thing. You can go ahead and roll though if you want.
What do you want me to roll?
Same thing. Culture ASA. Hyperboat racing falls under ASIN culture.
Oh snap.
All right, how do we do? 6? Okay. No. You were probably busy during this particular race. Maybe you missed it. Eric would know, but
damn it. Okay, is there space like to stand around her, or am I gonna have to fight my way in?
You could probably nudge your way through, sure.
Okay, and she would know of Mr. Brumpotungus at this point,
because everybody, at least in this hotel, everybody's heard of Brumpotungus.
Okay.
Oh shit.
I very casually and professionally walk up to her and cut my hand into her ear.
Okay, well let's see if you can get through the crowd first.
Okay.
So how are you doing that? Are you just going to be rude and like push, or is it like kind of like, excuse me, pardon me, like trying to
see? No, I very swagfully walk through the bar.
Okay. Swagfully.
Swag.
Right.
As you walk by, yeah, two women are like, man, he's got such swagfulness.
Because I'm like a fucking snake as I slip through the goddamn nooks and crannies of the social life of this bar.
You're like a hover boat on the bayou going between the trees. Go ahead and make a charisma based roll of some kind here.
Just a charisma based, just plus charisma?
No, well, I mean, I'm going to take a look at the skills here.
Persuade? I could persuade my way there.
Make a charisma based navigation roll.
Oh, great. Easy. Done. Done.
Nice. Yes. Your swagfulness is beautiful.
Wow. With an 11? That's sick.
Excellent swagginess. You did it. Okay. So, yeah, so you make your way through the crowd, and people part for you as you make your way up. You've navigated an ASIN bar crowd before.
Yeah.
And so you emerge, and whoever she's talking to is like kind of behind you. You don't see that person. But she kind of like looks at you, and instead of being like, "Whoa, who's this guy suddenly walking in my space?" She kind of like just raises an eyebrow, like she's like curious at this sudden appearance. And then you said you like whisper something to her?
Yeah, I cut my hand into her ear and say...
Yeah, she has to like lean down to listen to you.
Cause... Yeah, that's fine. I say, Mr. Brumpotungus, excuse me, wishes to speak with you. And then I just kind of like lean back and cross my arms and stare at her. Kind of like with a lean back like this, not straight up.
Okay, yeah.
As if I'm expecting her to be impressed.
Yeah, so you lean back, and she's about to react. She's about to be like, say something. But then the guy that she was talking to before that you're now standing in front of, you feel his like hand on your shoulder. And you hear behind you, you hear him be like, "You motherfucker, I was talking to her. What the fuck's your problem?" And he like yanks you and turns you around.
I take my hand and just like go like this onto his face.
Okay, so for a brief second, you see his face. He's kind of pale. He's probably in his like mid to late 30s. He's wearing like mirrored aviators and one of those like kind of like bucket hats, I guess, and like an undone Hawaiian shirt, and, like a pair of shorts. And you just plant your hand on his face, and he's like trying to like grab your wrist.
He's trying to grab my wrist.
Yeah.
I stare at her the entire time and just pull my hand down his face.
Okay, yeah. So you like yank his glasses off, or they like stick to your hand, and he you can see his like eyes are all red, and he like sneers at you, and you can see the inside of his mouth's kind of blue. And then there's a moment where he goes from being like angry to being like, and he's like, Wilbur Higgins, you goat fucking space trash, and he like goes to hug you, and you realize as he's throwing his arms around you that it's Vince Pollard.
Oh fuck.
Yikes. He smells like bourbon, bourbon and cheap hotel room, and and he just like throws his arms around you and like hammers you on the back.
How does she react to this?
She's just standing there watching. She's got this look on her face like halfway between like, oh, you poor bastard, and like, oh, thank goodness someone else has now got his attention. Like she's kind of like looking around for her means to escape.
Did we ever make a code word between me and... Mr. Vince, on if I was trying to fish for a woman at a bar, do we ever have that code word between the two of us?
I don't know that we ever established that, but you can definitely we can definitely.
Well, I lean in to him and say, "It's good to see you, Vince. I'm on a mission right now. I'd like it if you just turned and walk away, and I'd meet you later."
Okay, he like. Yanks you back to arm's length, and he's like, "What do you fucking mean a mission? What are you, come on, man! You're not gonna party with me? We haven't seen each other in what, 6, 7, 8 years? It's been forever. I don't know. I lose track of these things. I got projects, Higgs, projects. You can help me with those. And he like looks at the bar, looks at his empty glass. He's like, I need 3 more of these. You want one?
Yes. So I'll meet you at the bar, good sir. I'll see you soon. I'll be up there in 30 seconds.
Okay. All right. So where do you go?
I turn to her and me. Is she still there?
Yeah. I think she's like turned around, but she got stopped by someone and is like signing an autograph.
Okay.
It's like a picture of her standing out with a like ocean in the background.
And what's her name again?
Her name is Kira. Kira Ngonzai.
Ngonzai? Okay. I lean in and almost kind of interrupt whoever she's signing and say, Mrs. Ngonzai, we need to speak privately, please. There's something that needs to be brought to your attention. I'm so sorry, sir. She'll be around later tonight.
So she looks at him and says, she's like, thank you. I'll see you at the race. Thank you. And she hands him back his tablet and she looks at you and she says, it's Miss.
Yes, I do apologize. May we talk somewhere less boisterous, perhaps, and where you won't get bothered by such feeble beings?
She laughs and she's like, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for them. But yes. Please. And she gestures to like, you know, like kind of she starts to push through the crowd and very like politely is like, excuse me. And is like kind of like nudging her way through.
I am the asshole friend that is not important. That's pushing his way through the crowd for her and making right. way. And like if someone goes and like reaches out for an autograph, I karate chop their hands and be like, not now. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And okay. just kind of like walk the alternate direction from the bar.
So she looks over her shoulder as you leave and shouts to Vince. She's like, it was lovely meeting you, Mr. Pollard. And Vince is like he's already down his third drink. He like he looks at her and he's like gives her the like, I see you, what's up? He's like, yes, we'll catch up later. Have a good time with Higgs. Guy's great, fantastic individual, brilliant human being. And like his voice kind of like fades away as you move through the crowd.
Okay. As we're kind of getting towards the edge then, I'm just like, so, you know, Vince?
She says, I think that everyone within several hundred meters now knows Mr. Vincent Pollard. He's a boisterous man, but I've been dealing with a lot of those lately. I'm sorry. He said your name was? She like puts her hand out.
They call me Wilbur.
She smiles.
And I kind of like spin my hand and like do my hair back.
She like... takes her hand away.
No, not in the same hand. I spit in my left hand.
Right, okay.
Brush so my hair back and then shake her with the right hand.
Okay, all right. So she shakes her hand and she says, so, you're old friends with Mr. Pollard.
Yes, we do go a ways back. But in this business, you tend to know anyone and everyone if they somehow benefit you. That's why I'm here. Mr. Brumpotungus would like to meet with you. I'm sure you know quite well who he is. I represent him.
She grins and she says, yes, one of the competition. I make a point of it not to speak with anyone like that before the race. Safety, you see.
Are you fearful for your life in these situations?
I wouldn't say I'm fearful, but it's a dangerous place. I'm not familiar that much with Asa. I tend to stay with my boat. I'm hoping to finish the race and go home.
I see. Well, ma'am, if I can speak openly, Mr. Tungus is only here for one reason, and one reason alone, and that is, of course, to meet you. He's raced his way across the galaxy, you see, to just be within your presence for one night.
Smooth.
I'm here good. As an intermediary really between the two of us so that I can make his dreams come true. Now, I'm not like saying anything's going to happen. But if it does,
she grins and like leans back and she's got these like perfect, like beautiful white teeth. And she like looks at you and she shakes her head and she's like, I'm not sure what to think of you, Wilbur. You're telling me the truth.
Always,
can you ma'am. Can you make a persuade roll? He's raced his way across the galaxy. Man, it's a love story that would not die.
Fuck.
Reroll it.
I can't. I already did.
He's 3 roll already.
No! So,
I thought I had a +3 in that.
She says,
oh, well.
She says, you know, You're a curious individual, and if this Brumpotungus is as interesting as you are, well, maybe I could make time to meet him, but he would have to speak with my head of security first.
I assume
that won't be a problem.
Not at all, ma'am. I understand that security for you racers is of the utmost importance and would have no issue in doing so. Is your head of security around tonight? I'm sure he's probably listening into this very conversation.
She says he's very good at not being, and she like looks around, visible, but he's there when I need him. I'll speak to him. Where can I reach this Brumbotungus?
I'm trying to think of something that would be like, I know like our room number and stuff like that, right?
Yep.
Brumpotungus, what would be your catchphrase?
What do you mean? Like, what kind of catchphrase?
Like, what would you say after you win a race that you would always say?
God.
That's, I'm uncreative at the moment.
Proving my theory, you're all worse.
Nice.
God damn it, that doesn't help me at all. I say, yes, you can reach us at room 234.
She nods. She says, I'll have someone come and speak with Mr. Tungus. We still have a few days before the race. If you'll excuse me, she stands up. And she says, I need to get my rest.
Absolutely. Be safe. If do you need me to walk you back to your room? I don't know if your security's here to take care of that.
She says, "Oh no, I'm not staying in the hotel. I have." And she like puts her hand up, like she's like, "I don't actually know you, so I'm gonna." She's like, "But I will be in touch."
Fantastic, ma'am. Thank you so much for your time, and have a good night. We'll see you soon.
Okay. So she turns and leaves. And I think that you notice a woman in like a fringe leather jacket, with like bright orange hair and like wraparound sunglasses. You see her get up when Kira does and kind of like follow Kira out of the bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
I make note of her face if I can.
Yeah, sure.
All right. If I turn around, can I see Vince doing something?
Yeah, so you turn around and Vincent is like got one hand on people have kind of cleared away around him, and he's like having a kind of loud conversation with anyone who's around him who like listen. He's got his hand on the shoulder of this like really short the guy looks like he's maybe like Samoan or Maori or something. He's got like dark skin and like facial tattoos, but he's wearing like kind of a threadbare gray pinstripe suit. And he's holding a briefcase, and Vince is like arguing with this guy loudly. He's got one hand on his shoulder, and he's like shouting at him about like something about like who won a race. Maybe like you can't quite pick up the conversation, and he's sort of like yelling at anybody who's around him, basically.
All right, well, he's preoccupied, so I guess I just go back up to the room.
Okay,
tell all everyone right. that my name is out there, and that's probably not going to bode well for the mission, but we'll just deal with it as it comes up.
Is that all you say?
And then I've spoken with her under the guise of you wanting to meet with her, and her security team is most likely going to stop by sometime tonight or tomorrow morning and make sure you check out, so you need to be on your best behavior.
What are we trying to accomplish? I don't understand.
Well, you're trying to get as close to her as you can so that we can at least go and look at... be in the same room as the rest of the things we need to be in the facility. Whether we get to the actual boat room, it doesn't matter. But if we can get to that facility as a team, that'll help us.
Am I to be polite to her then?
Polite to her, but and to her acquaintances, but keep up the act to everyone else.
He like kind of stares at you blankly for a minute. He's like, polite to her, sit. Same character to everyone else, though. Yes?
Yes. Yes. But okay. Polite in a sense of... You still gotta be a dick, but you gotta be a polite dick. You know what I'm saying? You ever done that before, Alfarious?
He looks at you. Like 5 seconds passes, and he's like, yes.
Okay. All right. If you need to practice, feel free to, I don't know, go outside and talk to some people and see
no,
how
I've
you...
got tons of videos to go over. I will be...
Okay.
Planking in my room.
Okay. All right. That's good.
He goes in and kind of closes the double door or whatever into the main house.
I just turned to Pion and be like, we're fucked. We're not, this is not going to work at all. I think Alpharius is out of his league.
I mean, I don't know. He just give it a shot.
Yeah. By the way, guess who I saw down at the bar?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Are you talking to me? Who'd
yes.
you see?
Yeah. Yes, Pion.
There isn't
yes.
anyone else here, so you must be talking to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I motherfucking Vince Pollard. Right there. That asshole's here. And he used my full name in front of the racer, so that's Who? Good. Vincent Pollard, you know? Remember him? The TV show guy that you guys shot down? The fucking Blue Fever addict?
I fucking forgot about him 2 clicks out of the fucking system. Well, you guys were best buddies creating a show and whatnot.
Well, that was a mistake. One can never forget Mr. Vincent Pollard.
Am I in this room with y'all?
I would assume so, yeah.
You can walk in. Why don't you walk in right now, Eric?
Yeah, I walk in right now. And
I have a question for you. Hello, everyone.
Hey, excuse me.
Hey.
Yes. Hello.
So for just a second, Piani, you see a tiny red dot on Eric's forehead. Explodes all over the inside of the room.
It's now weird. I get to make Jeeves. Okay. At this point, I come in and I say, I heard someone talking about a TV show.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Well, yes, what? Eric.
I just peer it. Yeah, I peer at Iggs.
In another system, you see Piani here was once a TV star. I kind of just like hold my head up high and put my hands on my hips.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, maybe you two would have that in common. You guys should talk. I'm going to get the fuck out of here because this is already getting...
I'm just shaking
my head. Already hurts.
Wait, but what about Alpharius?
I mean, he'll be fine. He's got videos to watch. There's... must help.
I've given him
you
a
could just
lot
see,
of
like,
screen, material.
Like, you know, like... on the window.
You know, Higgs, I saw this movie once, Old Space Romance, and in the movie, the person who couldn't talk very well, he had a little comb in his ear, and then someone actually spoke for them, and they repeated it back to the person, guaranteeing, in fact, that Alpharius will be nice but a dick at the same time. I think we should consider it.
Okay, well, if you have that type of equipment and computer it up, yeah. Put it in his ear and I'll talk to him. That'd be easy. But I still think you should watch the videos. I mean, it's...
I just start running because I'm like...
Oh, my God. So you're going to set up the hotel room so that in one room you have, like, a secret... You have, like, the computer and, like, a microphone and, like, headphones and stuff. And then you're going to rig it up so Alpharius has, like, a little earpiece. Nice. Cyrano
exactly.
De Space Iraq. Okay,
exactly.
Cool.
Let's set that up and then let's take a break.
Yeah, we'll take a break here and then we can come in for that while you're doing that. Okay, perfect. Yeah,
fantastic. All right, we're gonna take our first break here of the evening. The plan is already off to a fantastic start.
As all of our plans are.
Yeah, here on Swan Songs. We'll take this break. We'll be right back, guys. More Swan Song for our roleplay Swan Song, that is. Right after this break, we'll see you guys then.